I probably should have took some more time thinking about how technology can really change the entire business 3 to 5 years down the road, giving it a lot more thought than you do. And you know, you get hung up in the day-to-day business.
You're tuning in to the InsureBreak podcast. It's the podcast about the latest and greatest trends in insurance. I'm your host, Ash, and I invite you to join us as we interview experts and executives in insurance covering innovative practices, technology advancements, and insight into the future of insurance. This podcast is sponsored by Zelros. Zelros is an AI software solution for insurance to hyper-personalize the customer buying experience across all channels, boosting client acquisition, cross-sell, and upsell. In this segment, we sit down with Mike Hughes, former president of Liberty Mutual. Mike began his career at the Hartford Insurance Group as an underwriter. He worked his way up the ranks and became president of Hartford's ARP division. He then left Hartford to join Safeco Insurance, where he headed a $4 billion operation. Liberty Mutual acquired Safeco, and he eventually led Liberty Mutual's business insurance, a $7 billion operation. He retired several years ago and today serves on several insurance boards. Stick around until the end to get the full scoop on how Mike sees technology impacting the insurance industry, how climate change is impacting insurance operations, and some of Mike's leadership principles that have empowered his successful journey in insurance.
We're joined today by Mike Hughes, former president of Liberty Mutual Business. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me here. I'm very excited to talk to you about the changing industry because it is significantly changing.
How do you feel like COVID has change the insurance industry?
A lot like a lot of other businesses, it's accelerated the importance of technology. There is some fatigue from Zooming, from Microsoft Teams, but it certainly has showed the importance of technology that the insurance business in the financial sector and technology sector in particular has been able to thrive during this 24 to 36 month period. And the insurance companies actually have never been in better shape as they've worked through the pandemic.
A lot of agents say that the biggest challenge during the pandemic was building new relationships. Like agents say, that building new relationships with customers remotely, you know, virtually was their biggest challenge.
I think initially the companies did struggle a little bit with the relationship, but I do believe everybody quickly got up to speed using new technology like Microsoft Teams, like Zoom, like Google that we're using today, and that started to make things a little easier. You know, looking forward, and this is something, Ash, that you had asked before, is, you know, there's going to be several types of winning models with one overarching theme on both those models. And number one model is the faster, easier, cheaper, higher quality, and it'll be companies that are very focused, such as personal lines companies and small commercial companies with scale, with brand, and plenty of data to analyze. The second winning model, which speaks to your question a little bit on relationship, is really the model of expertise, specialty, having an expertise in underwriting, a specialized ability that differentiates you from the competition, along with strong relationships and quality service. And these are the types like excess and surplus companies. These are large, sophisticated, mid-market and large commercial underwriting companies. And these companies are also, by the way, thriving with new technology to help them develop their expertise. But the overarching theme, even with those two winning models, and by the way, you can have a hybrid, sophisticated companies are using both those models, is it's a war right now out there on talent, on data, and algorithms. It's very clear that with the proliferation of data, that there has to be, you know, the cloud computing, data marts, data warehouses are helping the ability to store, manage, analyze data a lot quicker. And with that taking place, predictive modeling in every part of the business insurance is getting more sophisticated. And with that sophistication, underwriting, claims, service distribution processes are all changing and changing effectively to one, quickly get quotes out, but two, have the option to continue to keep that relationship going, either through technology or a phone call or personal as the pandemic wanes. And with that, that's allowing companies, agents, brokers, managing general agents to have the ability to quickly provide different quotes faster and easier through this change in predictive modeling. And with that, that's allowing now investors, previously key leaders in technology and financial, to say, hey, why can't I start a company and do it faster because I don't have all these legacy systems? The insurance industry right now, and I call it high evolution, isn't a war. If you're not focused on talent, data, and algorithms, you're not going to be winning that war, no matter how difficult the culture is. Technology can support, enable, and help any company, agency, or broker. But now with that said, you know, there's clear small commercial lines and personal lines where there's a great, and insurance has always been about the law of large numbers, call it the law of large data. And the more data you have, the more sophisticated you can get predictive modeling to get the right rate for risk. So clearly right now, companies have been focused on algorithms, predictive modeling on the underwriting claim side for that, I'll call it commodity scale type business, which is personal lines and is, call it small commercial business, 25,000 or under. But again, that's not to the detriment of using it in your other size business. Certainly with climate change, predictive models on climate has been used significantly.
Before Liberty Mutual acquired Safeco, you led a digital transformation impacting over 8,000 agents. Can you share more about what that journey of transformation by bringing in new technology and what the lessons you learned were?
As technology was accelerating significantly in the mid and late 90s, one of the key lessons for us was we were thinking too myopically and not bold enough. And we were thinking how it could change the underwriting processes through predictive modeling. And we were thinking about what it could do for distribution. Could we possibly go directly to the customer while also making our agents more effective? What we should have been doing, however, is thinking the power of technology, how it impacted every piece of our business, and it could accelerate holistically our entire business. And what I mean by that, not just underwriting, but distribution, claims, service, policy administration. A second key learning is initially we were thinking it's an either or situation where it could have been and should have been a hybrid situation. And here's what I mean by that. Take, for example, distribution. We were an independent agency company. And our initial thoughts were, well, Geico, Progressive are having some significant successes. Should we be thinking differently with the power of technology there? Ultimately, we came to the conclusion, no, let's help our independent agents be more effective through the use of technology. So it wasn't an either do it this way or that, but it was help our independent agents be more effective against the direct competitors. Another example was underwriting. We changed our underwriting processes, brought in predictive modeling and automation, but it didn't have to be shut the agent out and lose the relationship. Through technology, we could change the predictive modeling, automate many of the processes, but still have our agents have the ability to talk to our underwriters when they needed to and produce very significant productivity gains. So that was very powerful. If you're not looking at new technologies, you're simply not going to win.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that technology will enable people to do their job better, but almost never going to actually replace human beings.
I would say that's fairly accurate. Now, you know, you're getting a little hedged there because I think the simplest transaction certainly can be fully automated without human touch. But I am saying a lot of people want some human touch. And by the way, as you go up the chain, the more sophisticated you go from just a quick auto purchase to say a homeowner's purchase, to say you run a business, to say you run a large size business, there's definitely a strong desire for more human interaction.
That makes sense. So what I'm hearing also is that data is obviously very important. With an industry like insurance, which I would imagine the customers or people are just not very engaged, like the engagement level is very low, right? How do you gather data? Like what's a good way to gather data?
There are certain companies that have figured out now, even on a sophisticated account, that they may only need to ask 5 to 10 questions of the account or of the customer. And then the insurance company through the back room can go out and seek out data from credit agencies, from licensing agencies, from financial companies, from previous inspection reports, and can gather a great deal of outside data to complete their underwriting in a matter of seconds.
Embedded insurance, right? So if I go buy a car now, I can either, you know, some manufacturers will allow me to have purchase it with the car, right? Or like third party, like Geico, you know, with the trend of like the embedded insurance with like auto, for example, how do you feel like that's changing how insurance companies operate?
Well, I think clearly it has helped, you know, the faster, easier, less expensive, higher quality piece. But on the distribution side, you know, the initial thought process, and I'm going way back to the early 90s, was the direct marketplace, meaning the customer just do it online or the customer just call and get a quote in 15 minutes, that would be the dominating force. Certainly that has come up in the marketplace. And I would venture to guess about 20 to 25% of business is done that way. But independent agents and brokers, through the power of technology, have fought back. And what has given them the power, and by the way, their market share has increased now, independent agents and brokers in personal lines. Last number I saw was up to like 36% of the marketplace, with captives holding, like a State Farm or Allstate, holding the other business. And it's increased because they now have the ability, quickly through algorithms, to show not just one or two companies' quotes, but to give a variety of company quotes from 5 or 6 or 7. And depending on the parameters of the customer, they can just lock in what kind of limits, what kind of customization the customer has asked for, and quickly give those quotes right online. And the data really indicates, you know, as you get into buying a homeowner's policy with an auto, that the customer still wants to talk to an independent person, that wants to talk to someone that can advise them and give them more confidence. So technology really has empowered not only the direct side, but the independent side as well.
I feel like it's getting more and more important to be able to like educate, you know, the customer and make sure like you're answering their questions. It's like the first step, right? If somebody wants answers to their, you know, insurance questions, you're kind of there answering their questions. How important do you think, you know, I guess branding, content marketing, how important do you think that is going to be moving forward? Is it going to be getting more and more important or just as important as it has been?
I think it's always been important. I think actually, though, it's even taking a higher importance as we move forward, especially when some folks are just going online or on the phone, and we talked about that. So I think branding, especially in the consumer side, the small, you know, the personal line side, your auto and homeowners, and even in the small commercial side now, is very, very important. As you go up the scale, you know, you're dealing with managing general agents, you're dealing with wholesalers and agents that really know the companies that have the expertise, and they deal with the customer, and they are the brand for the customer, and they let the customer know who has this expertise. So the global branding might be a little less, but it was very important before, probably a higher importance going forward.
If we could fast forward 5 years from now, what do you feel like would be different in the insurance industry that maybe other people wouldn't imagine or wouldn't think would be different?
I think we're going to find some significant solutions as we make changes in climate change. which, by the way, is creating havoc for the industry, volatility and costs for everyone because of the volatility from all the storms that are taking place. I think, you know, as we continue through cloud computing, through having more data, we're going to come up with more innovative underwriting solutions to climate. We're going to come up with more innovative solutions to managing catastrophes. And I think, you know, we haven't talked about cybersecurity, but certainly I would hope we come up with some significant innovative solutions, how to stop ransomware, or at least minimize it or mitigate it significantly. So those aren't necessarily far out, you know, thought processes, but I clearly see that taking place. I also clearly see, you know, the customer continue to rev up their sophistication through automation. And what I mean there again is their expectations are going to get higher and higher and higher. And that, therefore, the companies that are successful have to continue to work faster, easier, less expensive, and produce higher quality. And that's certainly on the table, more so than today. And I've got to tell you, you know, as the old man, 50 years in the business, to me, the technology changes that have taken place have just been breathtaking. But they're going to be faster. There's no question about that. And it's going to continue to happen. Back when I started up as an underwriter nationally through the 50 states, our fear was hurricanes on the East Coast and Southeast and earthquake in the Northwest and California. Today, you talk to any underwriter, their fear is the severity of storms have gotten higher. The frequency of severity of storms has gotten higher. The type of storms, and what I'm referring to now is not just earthquake and hurricane, but flood, windstorm, hail, wildfire has taken over throughout the 50 states. And where these major catastrophes are taking place, it's everywhere. There isn't a safe harbor state anymore. Companies used to gravitate to the Midwest because they felt no earthquakes, no hurricanes, and outside of a belt of Oklahoma and South Central, not necessarily tornadoes. Today, that isn't the case. Windstorm takes place in the Midwest. There's been significant catastrophes. Flood takes place as much as the Northeast, East Coast, as down in the Southeast. And hail, just ask the folks in Texas how many hailstorms they've had. So the amount of devastation has never been higher. And companies are working very hard, one, on understanding it, and secondly, then trying to figure out ways to mitigate.
You know, I want to get into like your leadership experience. You know, you've led teams of 5,000 plus staff members, and many of your direct reports are now leading major insurance companies. Can you share a little bit about your leadership principles and advice that you can share with other executives and peers in your industry?
I'll give you a quick lineup of leadership principles. The first one I would say is you've got to be adaptive and you've got to be flexible. And if you're not constantly changing, perhaps even reinventing yourself, you're going to be left behind. In line with that, number two, I would say it is a continuous learning process. Education, education, education. When I got out of college, I was so relieved, no more studying. Oh gosh, I don't have to go through all this studying. Wrong. I know many people when they got done with their MBA or when they got done with their PhD felt the same way. Wrong. I can tell you today as a 67-year-old board member, it is still a continuous learning process. And if you don't, again, you're going to be left behind. Third thing I would say is, there's only one kind of honesty. It's total honesty. The fourth point I would mention is simplicity. Sometimes messages seem so incomprehensible, people can't understand them. And it's your job as a leader, simplify the message so that actionable steps and clarity are there for your colleagues and your team. And keep things simple. I would say the communication process is communicate. And what I mean there is one communication doesn't do it. a second one starts to stick. But my feeling is minimally you need to communicate three or more times to bring a message across. And if you're told by your colleagues that you're repetitive and redundant, take that as the ultimate compliment. The sixth thing I would say is be bold. Take calculated risk. Now, the key here is calculated risk, but show your curiosity, do your homework, and you're in the business of risk-taking. Get out, ask questions, bug your bosses, your supervisors, your managers with questions. Do not fear being seen as not knowing. Fear not asking the questions so that you continue to develop. Seventh thing I would say to you is persevere. Be resilient. It's never as bad as you think it is. By the way, it's never as good as you think it is. The eighth thing I would say is turn adversity into an opportunity. In fact, as a leader, that's really why you're there, is to handle adversity, to help your folks to come up with innovative solutions. The ninth thing I would say, and there's only 10, the ninth thing I would say simply is it seems that luck, fortune follow those that are prepared, those that do their homework, those that do the work, those that are disciplined. And then the 10th and maybe most important one is have a balanced life. Work is very, very important, but it's not as important as your health. It's not as important as your family. It may not be as important as your spirituality. Balance your life. I love the insurance industry, been in it for 50 years. But I have to tell you, a lot of what's being discussed today, insurance companies started putting into place in the 80s and the 90s. And clearly, you know, the way I was educated is, hey, the business case is clear. You can't win unless you have diversity of people, which creates diversity of thought, which creates more innovation. And you need to put in processes in place to make sure that your staff reflects diversity, the demographics in which you work in, to help you win. And the other thing I would say, Ash, you know, 15, 25 years ago, I probably should have took some more time thinking about how technology can really change the entire business 3 to 5 years down the road, giving it a lot more thought than you do. And you know, you get hung up in the day-to-day business, but CEOs and key leaders that really get it right, they're taking the time to strategically think.
This podcast is sponsored by Zelros. Zelros is an AI software solution for insurance to hyper-personalize the customer buying experience across all channels, boosting client acquisition, cross-sell, and upsell. Thank you for tuning in to the InsureBreak podcast. Join us next month as we interview another insurance executive to gain insight on innovative practices, technology advancements, and what the future of the industry looks like. See you next month.